answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. New this morning, Taiwan is set to hold 5 days of combat readiness drills, shifting its military training strategy to reflect exercises simulating war. Taiwan already basing some drills on a scenario in which China suddenly turns one of its regular military exercises into an actual attack. China's Navy recently increasing pressure around the island, routinely operating in controversial areas surrounding Taiwan to pressure Taiwan into accepting Chinese sovereignty.
Taiwan is prepared for war. We see these 5-day drills with tanks in the streets around the country's main airport. But also they need civil defense training of the population. And they need to consider something which is now inconceivable in Taiwan, and that is arming citizens. Because the one thing the Chinese military is not prepared for is guerrilla warfare, and that can be deadly, as we found out in places like Fallujah. So yes, Taiwan is moving in the right direction, but they need to move faster because China's drills are becoming bigger and bigger.
That is Gordon G. Chain. We had him on the air with us in our last hour, but in that case, he was with Maria Bartiromo talking about the threat China poses for Taiwan. And you heard him suggest that Taiwan needs to consider and probably might already be arming some of its citizens and planning basically a civil defense force, because the Chinese continue to get more and more aggressive around Taiwan, in part because they think the world's attention is focused on Iran. And Taiwan is just a ripple in the water. It's much bigger than that. And Gordon and I discussed that in the last hour. So if you missed the first hour today, I strongly encourage you to pull up the podcast available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And do me a favor, please, when you pull up one of our podcasts, video or audio, push share. Send it on to others, friends, family, even your enemies. Get them involved. Get some of their thought input. Hopefully the enemies can discuss it with you in a relatively sane fashion and deal with facts, not emotion. But again, everything we do goes up as a podcast later. And while we're on the air like we are right now, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. Very easy to do. Go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Larry Connors USA Facebook while we're on the air. You can watch it. But again, if you miss it, you can go back and pull it up later. And with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You will leave each hour with more information than you have as we begin the hour. That is a promise. And I want to thank all of you out there that have been with us and supporting us from the beginning. I want to remind you this Friday we're scheduled to have out in Cottleville a big party. If Frankie Martin's, come on out. Starts about 6 o'clock up to 10 o'clock. I sure hope the weather holds off. It's scheduled to be maybe rainy and a little wet, but it's not going to tamp down our party unless it becomes dangerous weather. So if you can, come on out to Cottleville. Be glad to see you. A lot of us will be out there. You'll have a chance to visit. We'll share some stories and some opinions as well. Looking again at Taiwan, Gordon Chain is right on top of what China is doing. In fact, we were talking in the previous hour about how China has kind of been saying that it supports what Trump has done in Iran. And he says that's really because they believe that it is more beneficial for Iran than the U.S. And there are a lot of cases that supposedly support that. The one thing that we'll get into in more details when we move forward is one of the key issues for us is that in Iran, they are not going to have nuclear weapon capability again. Have we achieved that? That's the big question. the Strait of Hormuz secondary. And there are a lot of other incidental items that need to be considered. Some plus, some minus. But again, back to what we need to be focused on with Red China and Taiwan, Gordon Chain.
The Taiwanese population self-identifies as Taiwanese, not as Chinese. And we see this from surveys year after year after year. And there's a growing sense of Taiwan identity. And China's pressure tactics are sometimes and often counterproductive. So Beijing has lost the cue card when it's really thinking about influencing Taiwan's population. Yes, it's got a bigger military. Yes, these exercises around Taiwan are becoming really dangerous. And the other thing, Maria, about this is that China is now saying that international water around Taiwan is China's coastal water. In other words, sovereign Chinese water. And that affects us because if we've had any consistent foreign policy over the course of 250 years, it's been the defense of international water and airspace. So this is now starting to affect us and everybody else as well, not just Taiwan.
And that is a key point. We don't want to lose that area to the control of the Chinese. We have a lot of manufacturing, especially semiconductors that come out of Taiwan. That is also a critical point. Well, of course, we need to stop relying on foreign countries, even if they're friends and not foes, for anything we need in this country. And we're in the process of getting there, but we still have a long ways to go. And all of this could suddenly dissolve if Congress falls into the hands of the Democrats, the House or Senate. Some of the latest recommendations, or I should say statements being made, is that we would have the Democrats might control the House, but not the Senate. Well, there's a logjam right there. But either way, it blocks Trump from a lot of things he would want to do. Of course, we have some Republicans that aren't even in the Senate that I'm not so sure where they stand now. Now, our reactions to U.S.-Iran, deal or no deal? Now, let's start with some of the negative reaction as from MSN Now, Morning Joe.
If Hezbollah continues to do what they've been doing for the past 20 years, firing rockets into Israel, don't worry about it. Just ignore that. I mean, that's how this all looks to the Israelis. I know nobody wants to think about how the Israelis actually are looking at this deal right now, because, again, because of Netanyahu's horrific policies. But right now you have an American administration saying if you get attacked by Israel or if you get attacked by Hezbollah, which they do all the time, they fire rockets into Israel all the time, don't do anything. Somebody fired a rocket into like Texas would be in Mexico City by nightfall. So that's how the Israelis are thinking when they hear us saying, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have the Israeli opinion is, I mean, I think something like 11% of Israelis think they won this war. I mean, a catastrophic failure for Netanyahu. But now the real problem is by going in with the United States, not once, but twice, they thought that would be it. We would deliver the coup de grace to Iran. We would cut the head off the snake for them, as they put it, one of their euphemisms. Instead, what we've done is placed a pair of handcuffs on the Israelis. They feel like they have forfeited their sovereignty and their strategic autonomy, which for them is the greatest danger, right? The United States should not be able to dictate terms of how Israel can respond to national security threats. And that's exactly what we're doing now. And Donald Trump is very outspoken. I mean, he's called Netanyahu an effing idiot. He said that, you know, I call the shots. I'm the guy in charge. Strategic disaster, Joe, is the phrase I keep hearing from Israeli national security analysts and hawks. Nobody's under any illusions that this war has not only not gone the way they wanted, but has possibly put Israel in an impossible bind right now.
And in fact, and by the way, that speaker to Morning Joe, the host of Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, was Michael Weiss, editor of The Insider. The Guardian has pointed out, in a headline basically, Israelis feel betrayed and angry because of the Iranian deal. Now, we don't, I want to remind you again, we don't still really have a deal. We have a framework, or some say a roadmap to get to a deal. But we're trying to loosen some restrictions, hoping Iran will comply, not take advantage of it. But we've got to watch them at every step. We cannot trust them. But here's the way it's written up in The Guardian. Many Israelis believe the deal negotiated by the U.S. with Iran is a betrayal. Commentators have condemned it as a surrender and a humiliation that was, quote, even worse than Israel had feared. There is widespread concern not only that Iran will be able to rebuild stronger than before, but also the agreement imposed in Lebanon will restrict Israel's ability to combat Hezbollah, which continues to be a major threat to Israel's north. One political strategist in Israel said Israelis believe that the war in Lebanon is a just war. Everyone living in Israel understands that Iran and Hezbollah are one and the same, and I would agree. If you're living in the northern part of Jerusalem, you're subject to a rain of bombs anytime Hezbollah wants to release them. Hezbollah supposedly is going to back off while Iran goes through the motions of what is happening. Vice President Vance finishing up some of the latest talks over the weekend, Geneva, Switzerland.
Yesterday was a very, very good day. We made a lot of good progress. We did exactly what we wanted to do, which is accomplish four things for the American people. First, we wanted to build a mechanism for keeping the Strait of Hormuz open. It is open. We've seen, of course, gas prices and oil prices come down, millions and millions of barrels of crude and natural gas flowing through the Strait of Hormuz that weren't flowing before. But we also wanted to make sure that we actually set up the coordination mechanism so that we could demine the Straits of Hormuz so that when there are the conflicts that inevitably come up, we can make sure we work through them rather than that leading to escalation. And that is exactly what we did yesterday.
Now, again, back to The Guardian. That was Vice President Vance. One Israeli quoted in The Guardian said, "I believe Iran when it says it wants to destroy Israel. Why shouldn't I? But this government is exploiting the war to get divisive laws through just to stay in power." He's talking about Benjamin Netanyahu. And Trump has called out Bibi, and he has made remarks about him that are certainly not, well, let's not say polite. They are not polite, not when he's calling him an effing idiot to some extent, which he has. But Vance says what we have going with Iran now is much better and closer to what we want ultimately.
We also wanted to build a mechanism, a similar mechanism, for deconfliction for the regional ceasefire. As the President of the United States has himself said, sometimes these ceasefires just mean you're shooting a little bit less, but we wanted to make sure that we had the proper coordination set up so that if there is shooting, if Hezbollah fires at Israel or if Israel responds, if there are other conflicts that arise in the region, we're actually talking to each other and figuring out how to stop the shooting, how to make the region safer, our allies, and everybody else. We set that up as well. Number three, we, and this is probably what we're most excited about as Americans, the Iranians have agreed to invite IAEA inspectors back into their country. That is a major milestone for the American people and the first step in permanently denuclearizing or permanently ending a nuclear weapons program in Iran.
If that is true, if they hold to that, and allow UN inspectors to enter Iran at any time they want, go anywhere they want, to check for anything they want, then that would be a win. But they'd also said they would do that in the past, and they did not. International inspectors were allowed to enter the nation, but they were not allowed to go about the country as they chose. And they were told, well, what you want to see is inside a military installation. We cannot let you go there. Do you not believe that anything and everything Iran has regarding nuclear is now considered part of a military installation? Of course it is. In the meantime, there's a new CBS News YouGov poll taken just last weekend, Wednesday through Friday. Participants asked, the conflict with Iran, what should the U.S. do now? 78% said we should end the conflict now. 22% said continue the conflict until Iran gives up more. The survey also focused on Republicans asking, what should we do now? 60% of all Republicans said the nation should end the conflict now. 56% of the MAGA Republicans agreed. 40% of Republicans said the nation should continue the conflict until Iran gives more. 44% of the MAGA Republicans responded the same way. Retired Lieutenant General Hertling on MSN Now describes what we have now as this way.
There's been no peace plan negotiated just yet. You used the word when you started roadmap, and that's what they negotiated yesterday, a roadmap. It is what comes next after a memorandum of agreement or understanding. Here's what we want to talk about. Here are the things both sides want to achieve early on. Here's where we'll start. And what happened yesterday, it appears, is that memorandum of understanding, which favors Iran significantly, was approved. So we're at the beginning of the negotiations. Approving an agenda for a meeting is relatively easy.
It's easy to approve an agenda, but to get the meeting and get it to the point you want. And back from reaction from Israel's reporting by The Guardian. All the talk of polarization, according to one Israeli, is a self-fulfilling prophecy, stating that last week's events have taught her peace will never come. And she added, I was hoping for an end to wars, but I think we're always going to have to live by our swords. We understand now. We have no friends. We cannot trust anyone. And she includes the U.S. in that. And again, inside Israel, as one said, Jewish Israelis are more divided than ever. Israelis talking past each other. There is no common ground for many of them. Coming up, I want you to hear the view from Victor Davis Hanson, a conservative military historian. You want to get his view on the deal as it stands. And a Republican congresswoman targeting California Senator Adam Schiff for what he did and to prosecute a fake spending millions of your dollars. That before we wrap up the hour. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hello, this is Victor Davis Hanson for the Daily Signal. I know a lot of you have been exasperated by the reaction to the Iran war from the Democratic grandees in the House and Senate, the liberal media, the New York Times, particularly the Washington Post, NPR, PBS, the network, even the Wall Street Journal's news section. And then we have some people on the right who have also looked at the war and said it was lost, it went south, it was going to World War III, blah, blah, blah. All of them share one thing in common. Excuse me, two things in common. One, they wanted it not to go well. Wanted it not to go well because it would reflect badly on Donald Trump and his administration. And if you were a Democrat, that would give you some momentum going into the midterms. And if you were a disaffected former supporter, it would prove to the world that you were right all along and Donald Trump is reckless and got us into a forever unwinnable war. But whatever the particular reason was, both of them were not historical analyses. Both these people never were empirical. They were never historical. Had they looked at America's wars in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and more importantly, recently the bombing campaign in Serbia or the bombing campaign in Libya or the first Gulf War or the second Gulf War or the Afghan, they would have come up with some data, some information, and then they could have compared this particular engagement and compared it with the others. Or they could have said to themselves, I'm not going to prejudice what happens. I'm going to look exactly what the data is on the ground. How many missiles were destroyed? Who was taken out? Have they taken out the Israeli commander, command and control? Have they shot down 45 planes as they did during the first Gulf War, U.S. craft? And then they could have come up with a reasoned analysis, but they didn't do that.
That is Victor Davis Hanson saying they were ignoring the data. I'm going to come back to that point in a moment. But let me reiterate to you who Victor Davis Hanson is. He's an American military historian, conservative political commentator with Daily Signal, also the Hoover Institute, which is a conservative organization. He has and continues to be a prominent and vocal supporter of Trump. He even authored the book in 2019, The Case for Trump, which argued Trump had successfully challenged the political establishment on behalf of working class Americans, you. They also point out that while he does champion a lot of what Trump has done, he's also known to differ sometimes from Trump on various issues. But one thing he said in that segment, regardless of if you believe we have been successful or trying to get successful with a deal or no deal with Iran, he pointed out there a lot on the other side, talking about the left and the legacy media and some even inside the party that really wanted the U.S. to fail. Why would you want our country to fail in trying to achieve a lasting peace in the Middle East? That is, again, back to the Trump derangement syndrome. And even former President Barack Obama made a statement about how Trump has handled this war. I'll share that with you in a moment. But let's go back to what Victor Davis Hanson said. If they had wanted to prove and present data, all the data points were there.
In the first 5 weeks, the United States with the Israeli Air Force wiped out most of the top echelon of the four ruling cliques in the Iranian nation. That would be the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the regular army, the theocratic apparat at top, and the elected politicians, such as they do have elections. All four of them were attrited. And right now, they would also say to themselves that they are motivated by two or three catalysts that explain everything they say. One, they don't know who is in charge, and they're all grasping for power, and they're all terrified somebody is in charge that they don't know about. Two, they've seen 30, 40, 50 people taken out, and they don't want to identify and be a leader and be dead. Yeah. Three, they're competing for power, and that manifests itself in two ways. Number one, they're afraid of the hardliners. So they send out communiques, they freelance, not official all the time, and they want to sound harder than the other person. So they're not accused of being soft.
They don't want to be accused of being soft. So they're trying to out-hard the other hardliners. That's inside the Iranian regime. And they do get support from this side of the world. Former President Barack Obama the other day stating the Trump administration, he condemned the handling of the Iran war, citing the human and financial tolls. He said, and I'm quoting him, "We've now fought a war, spent billions and billions of dollars, put an enormous strain on our military. A lot of people have died, and it feels like we're right back where we were before we started the war, except maybe a little worse off." He's not talking about Joe Biden and Afghanistan and what Biden did with the Afghanistan debacle. He's not talking about his own record. He's trying to shift the viewpoint just to Trump. He did add, "I'm very happy to see a ceasefire. I'm hopeful it holds. But in terms of what was the original rationale for this war, which was there was a deal in place which Iran agreed not to develop nuclear weapons, this administration, or his prior administration, pulled out of it, which then caused Iran to develop more nuclear capabilities. They were going to anyway." Obama does not get that. Of course, he gets it. But it's better to pile onto Trump than admit, "I signed a bad deal that was going to allow Iran to go reckless." And a wink, wink, nod that everything's okay here. We're not doing anything wrong. But they were never allowing UN atomic energy inspectors to go inside Iran unannounced, visit anywhere they want, and see what they were doing. When they did show up, they were basically kept in their hotel and delivered a 3- or 4-page report. Here's what you should know, and that's it. Back to Victor Davis Hanson talking about the fear inside regarding Iran.
The final catalyst that explains this crazy stuff that emanates from Iran is they're afraid of the Iranian people. The Iranian people are sick and tired. Before the war even started, the hyperinflation was strangling them. They couldn't afford gas. They couldn't afford food. They can't go out of the country. They couldn't get, and it's 10 times worse now. And they're going to be restive, just like during the fall of the Berlin Wall. You didn't see a revolution immediately. It was weeks and months in Eastern Europe and 2 years in the Soviet Union before it became Russia again. That means in the next 2 years, I think you're going to see a lot of popular resistance. And these people know it. And they know that if they go down, they're going to be what? They're going to have a Nuremberg war crimes trial, and the people are going to take it out on them. So they don't know where the nexus of power is. So it is confused. But people couldn't just accept that. They had to say Donald Trump got us in a forever war, even though we had tragically but lost 13 or 14 or 15, depending on the calculus we use, soldiers. We never have had a war like that before. We've never taken on a country of 93 million people that had the most fearsome, terrible reputation of being dangerous and unpredictable and running the Middle East with a ring of fire proxies in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Gaza, Lebanon, indomitable. It terrified seven presidents. And yet, 5 weeks, we destroyed its ability to make war. Yes, they have a few drones, a few ballistic missiles. They can cause damage, but not if that damage will be replied to, as Donald Trump has warned them, by the destruction of their oil capacity or their electrical generation.
And in fact, Victor Davis Hanson pointed out, and I'm quoting him, Donald Trump holds, quote, all the cards in negotiation with Beijing regarding Iran and dealing with Beijing at any point. That's his view. Now, over the weekend, reports surfaced that Iran had closed the Strait of Hormuz. That was while Vice President Vance was meeting in Switzerland and talking about the threats from Iran, or rather from Trump, I should say. He pointed out on his Truth Social, basically, we threatened that he would take full control of the strait. In fact, wording, you close it and you won't have a country. You won't even make it back to your effing country. And again said, we will take full control of the strait and blow the S out of Iran. One military, even our military, says the strait never was closed, but there were a few incidents, still nothing major. And Trump was threatening to walk out of the talks in Switzerland. Vance, of course, is back down saying we got pretty much what we want. I don't know who to believe. All I know is that our prime concern should be Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. Our secondary concern is, obviously, the Strait of Hormuz should be open. It is international water. Neither we should try to control it, nor the Iranians. But we put a blockade in there only because Iran was trying to shut it down. Coming up, the battle to get immigrants out of the country, even deport them. I'm not talking about our country. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the other day, something happened in the European UK Parliament that I think needs to, I should say the European Parliament, not the UK Parliament, but there's so many different fashions and factions of this. Lawmakers approved a sweeping overhaul of the European Union's migrant return system, the latest sign that Europe is moving toward a tougher immigration enforcement law after years of growing anger and frustration from voters. The vote inside the European Parliament, 418 to 218, to approve the return regulation, a measure designed to speed up removing third country nationals staying illegally inside the European Union and the nations of the European Union. After the vote was announced, right-wing lawmakers stood, applauded, and were chanting, "Send them back, send them back, send them back." Lawmakers on the left were chanting in turn, "Shame on you, shame on you." But the vote was overwhelmingly 418 to 218, still requires formal approval by the Council of the European Union. New rules would allow member states of the European Union to detain some migrants for up to 24 months with a possible six-month extension, creating a framework for return hubs outside the European Union in third countries willing to receive the migrants. They opened their gates. We're not talking about illegally. They came in basically legally across the European Union. Do you remember that? Do you remember when Merkel of Germany said, "Our borders are open. We'll take all the migrants. All of them can come here." And then pretty soon she realized that was not such a good idea. There were hordes and long, long lines of military-aged men appearing from nowhere, marching across and into the Germany border. Poland started talking about, "We're going to build a gate. We're going to build a wall like Trump wanted. We're not going to allow that to happen in our country." And a lot of them then went to England. And in England, it's already become an issue. And in Spain. In fact, according to one source, I don't have the source written down here. I want to say it's Associated Press. I could be wrong about that. But they're suggesting that Spain is presently in the final weeks of a widely criticized mass amnesty process launched by the government of the socialist prime minister, who wants to grant 500,000 illegal migrants with, quote, legal residence status, work permits, other benefits. Now, again, they came across legally, illegally as kind of vague in that part of the world. But they're acknowledging 1 million illegals in Spain seeking amnesty would collapse that nation's basic services of housing, education, security. Of course it would. The same thing we've dealt with here through Joe Biden and his open border policy. Thank you, Joe Biden. Here's the source. The Spanish newspaper ABC reporting the sheer number of applicants, almost double what the government is estimating, is raising alarms among economists and others, housing specialists, state security officials. All of them say this will lead to a collapse of what we're trying to provide our citizens. They do say if there wasn't a constant influx of immigrants, the housing problem we have inside our nation would be solved sooner, pointing out that more people die than are born in our nation, but not with the illegals coming in. And many of them, to be honest about it, they're not just Muslim, they're jihadist. And they want to take over Spain and make it Marxist-Communist fully. One security officer argued, they might get it wrong by the thousands, but not by the hundreds of thousands. They'll tell you they're suddenly going to put in 1 million. That's a staggering number. And again, this is in Spain, part of the European Union. Well, at the same time, I was telling you, England is also worried about more and more migrants coming in. They have basically stopped taking them. They're not talking about deporting yet, but they're getting closer to it. Italy, the same thing. They see what is happening as, quote, according to one Italian leader, horrifying. They're losing their culture. They're losing the face of their nation. They're losing what Spaniards are so proud of, Italians are proud of, Germans are proud of, Poles are proud of. Well, Poles aren't going to let it happen. They know it's an invasion, just as surely as Hitler coming across the border. When you've got the European Parliament voting 418 to 218 to approve a return regulation, speed up getting the third country nationals out, some cases are saying they've stayed illegally in the European Union, maybe longer than they should have, but either way, the vote announced and shouts and applause, chants, send them back, send them back. See, the difference between what we're seeing now and when our nation was built, and we were built upon a nation of immigration. We all acknowledge that. But it was those coming to our country, and quite honestly, not with much to offer other than their hands and their minds and maybe their children, who would then become doctors and scientists. But they came here because they wanted to be part of the great American dream and escape wherever they were. And they wanted to be part of America. Yes, they had their divisions of Italian communities like the Hill in St. Louis, Chinatown in New York and in San Francisco, and Bosnian neighborhoods. But they still are an integral part of our nation, assimilating, sharing their culture, their music, and everything else, which makes us a great melting pot. But many coming in now have no interest in swearing allegiance to our flag. It's sad enough we have, quote, some Americans who refuse to swear allegiance to our flag. By the way, there's a new book out from a former Democrat fundraiser who switched party affiliation over the warning signs that Joe Biden's decline in the 2024 election was so obvious that nobody was doing anything. And she says, whatever was out there at the time, it was not the truth. They warned Joe Biden to go. And also in my book, I will be telling people exactly who was aware of Biden's cognitive decline, but pretended otherwise. This is Lindy Lee, a former Democrat fundraiser. Her book is titled Unburdened, due out later this year. Again, it's going to look at the discussions, the research, the panic behind the scenes of the Democrat Party, indicating that Biden enjoyed only shaky support at that time, long before he did drop out of the 2024 election. That should come as no surprise. But when she starts naming names, again, that should come as no surprise. When she starts saying as to how they were propping him up, that's no surprise. But for someone who had been in the side, a former Democrat fundraiser, who switched party affiliation because of the way that was being done. She says, I remember getting a text from Adam Schiff, referring to Adam Schiff, at that time Congressman of California. He was then a Democrat candidate for Senate. She said, I have it in my book. Basically, Adam Schiff was, I can't remember what he said on TV, but I'm telling you right now that behind the scenes, he very much wanted Biden to go. Again, I'm not surprised. But they were out there basically carrying signs, keep Biden, go Joe, run Joe, run Joe. He couldn't even walk. Now, a spokesman for Schiff responded to those claims saying the senator had made his doubts about Biden known publicly after that 2024 debate where Biden stumbled over his words. You remember that. He said that Biden called, or rather Schiff called for Biden to step aside that July. I don't remember that well. I certainly don't recall someone like Adam Schiff saying he's got to go because they continued to protect him. They were surrounding him. But according to the spokesman, the senator's concerns and call on President Biden to not run was very public, so none of this is news. I really don't recall what Schiff said or did not say in July following that debate. I haven't had time to look it up to quote fact check. But they knew inside the party, obviously, that Biden was in no shape to run. But I didn't see Schiff nor Schumer nor Pelosi stepping up, not just in the closing weeks of the campaign, but long before then, shortly after that debate. And Dr. Jill Biden said, no, he's just fine, even though she later has since admitted, I thought maybe he was having a stroke or something. And according to the author of this new book, and she ran a formidable fundraising operation for the party, she said they, the Democrats, anyone who spoke out didn't want to get ostracized by the party. It's like the axiom, you come at the king, you better not miss. And everyone would have missed. There were many candidates who polled themselves against Biden and realized they couldn't beat him in a primary. So it wasn't at that point so much anti-Trumpism, it was self-interest. She adds that I've seen the polling data, and that is in my book, polling that no one has seen before. Regarding Harris, she had internal discussions revealed that she was not a particularly strong candidate. They all recognized that. And in fact, Linda Lee, who is writing this book called, let me get the title for you again, I'll be out later, Unburdened. She admits, in her words, Harris was the weakest candidate in the field. No surprise there. Now, speaking about Adam Schiff, a Florida congresswoman is going after the former congressman, now Senator Adam Schiff, and I think with good cause.
The fraudulent spending of $32 million out of the pockets of our American people and threw it down the drain to knowingly chase ghosts, all for political gain. This man occupied a position of the highest trust and authority. As chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff launched an all-out political campaign built on baseless distortions against a sitting U.S. president at the expense of every single citizen in this country and the honor of the House of Representatives. With access to sensitive information unavailable to most members of Congress and certainly not accessible to the American people, Schiff abused his privileges claiming to know the truth while leaving Americans in the dark about his web of about this web of lies. Lies so severe that they altered the course of the country forever.
That is Congresswoman of Florida, Ana Paula Luna. She wants an investigation into Schiff and how he created and manufactured more lies using your taxpayer dollars just to go after Trump. I hope they proceed. I'm not necessarily believing it until I see it. In the meantime, we have so many of these lefties that are still out there and trying to get bigger and stronger. There's a socialist congressional candidate against a Democrat in Colorado's 1st Congressional District, who is actively pushing a need for a trans bill of rights, calling it horrific to protect children from gender mutilation surgery. If this candidate gets even one vote, that's one vote too many. And that is even farther left than the Democrat now serving in Colorado and the 1st District. A trans bill of rights, and if you're trying to protect your children from gender mutilation, you are a horrible person. I disagree, violently. Please join us again tomorrow, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.